This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.
Well met, fellow adventurers. So, we found a new place to go to in Fogmore Forest, which will lead us to somehow be able to survive going deeper in that place. Explore it. A mysterious location. Not far from the entrance to Akna's Mad, at the northern end of a deep, tangled, fog-filled ravine, you reach location marked on Thwimback's glowing, weed-drawn map. You're standing at the north end of a deep, tangled, fog-filled ravine. Just ahead, set into the northern wall of the massive ditch, is a towering pair of stone doors. Engraved upon each of the damp, moss-covered doors is the likeness of a Takaback. Step up to the stone doors. You step up to the stone doors and immediately take notice of five symbols carved just beneath each of the engraved Takabacks. The five engravings, composed of four eyes and a skull, are arranged in a circular formation with the skull in the middle. You reach out and run your fingers over the engraved surface of the slab of stone. There doesn't appear to be any means by which to open the doors. Okay, so this is time to use the dial. Skulls. Eyes around the edge. Skulls at the top. Iron plate of dials. Just the dials. Skull for level one. Eye for the rest of them. Set the dials. Go back. As you reach out to touch one of the doors, a loud groan rises into the air as the massive slabs of stone swing slowly inward, revealing a broad, dark corridor that plunges into impenetrable gloom after only a few yards. Step through the open doors into the dark corridor. You're standing at the western end of a broad, dark corridor. Only the reassuring glow of your light source keeps you from being swallowed up by the surrounding gloom. Immediately to the west stands the massive stone doors that seal off this shadowy lair from the cursed, shrug-bounded forest. So I can approach these stone doors, but that's just get me out, and I don't want to do that until I found whatever it is I'm looking for in this place. Alright, I'm on the western side of this. I'm in the middle of the western side of this floor. And the corridor goes to the east and then splits off to the north, south and east. And there's a question mark in the middle. So something happens there. A stifling silence fills the dark, dank passages of this long hidden lair. Something's coming up. The large engraving of a Takaback adorns the floor in the centre of this section of the corridor. A few feet to the left of the engraved Takaback, the faint outline of a broad square has been etched onto the floor. Maybe the silver feather will help here. Oh, it's out of the recently lose list because it's been a while since I've been in the Mad, and I've done quite a few things since then. Right, wait. Wait, did I? Let me just check. Solid silver feather. This feather is made of solid silver. Use. Nope, well, apparently you can't use it. Alright, let's pause for a bit. Well, time to go north and see what we find. I go north to the top of the map, and there's another question mark. A cloud of thick, green mist hangs along the white side of this section of the corridor. Now and again you can see what appears to be thin golden tines of energy arcing through the strange swirling mass of fog. Okay, have I stepped through the cloud of green mist, will it either hurt me a lot or help me? So let's just see what happens. You step through the cloud of mist and are immediately consumed by a powerful sense of disorientation. Struggling to remain conscious, your thoughts rapidly become an incoherent jumble of sounds and images. You stagger back out of the swirling cloud. As you lean up against the wall and attempt to clear your head, you suddenly notice the cloud of mist has changed from green to red. Okay, that's probably going to be useful. Okay, I can go west from here. And we got two question marks on top of each other. The one in the top northwest corner is... You're standing at the western end of a broad corridor you've been following. Directly to the south, a sturdy iron portcullis seals off the arch entrance to a large chamber. Peering through the bars and into the gloom-filled room, you can see what appears to be at least half a dozen Otoroks standing before a wide pool of dark water. A close examination of the portcullis suggests that it could be raised into the ceiling, for you don't spot any readily available means by which to accomplish such a feat. Alright, past the cloud of mist, and then we go east. And is enough. It's two more question marks on each other again. Northeast corner. You're standing at the eastern end of the broad corridor you've been following. Directly to the south, a sturdy iron portcullis seals off the arched entrance to a large chamber. Peering through the bars and into the gloom-filled room, you can see what must be at least half a dozen Otoroks standing before a wide pool of dark water. A close examination of the portcullis suggests it could be raised into the ceiling, for you don't spot any readily available means by which to accomplish such a feat. Alright, there's probably a lever or something I can pull. But I probably have to do something so I can pull the lever. Okay, we're back. We're back to the tacker back to east of the entrance. Let's go east. Okay, to the east, we've got a question mark, and then alcoves to the north and south. Now, if we keep going east to the edge of the dungeon, there's another question mark. Question mark in the middle. A cloud of thick green mist hangs from the white side of this section of the passage. Now and again, you can see what appears to be thin, golden tides of energy arching through this strange, swirling mass of fog. That probably works like the other bits of fog, where it can change colour if I walk step through it. But what's in the northern alcove? You're standing in a small room just off the broad passage you've been following. A long iron lever rises out of a slot cut into the floor in the centre of the room. The rounded head of the lever has been carved to resemble the taloned foot of a tackerback. Ooh, classy. The lever has been moved all the way to the left, and I'm going to move it all the way to the right for no reason. Despite several attempts to move the lever, the long iron shaft refuses to budge. Okay, let's head back south and the southern alcove. You're standing in a small room just off the broad passage you've been following. A long iron lever rises out of a slot cut into the floor in the centre of the room. The rounded head of the lever has been carved to resemble the taloned foot of a tackerback. The lever has been moved all the way to the left, then move it to the right? No. Right, head back north. What's on the very eastern edge? You're standing in a small room just off the broad passage you've been following. A long iron lever rises out of a slot cut into the floor in the centre of the room. The rounded head of the lever has been carved to resemble the taloned foot of a tackerback. The lever has been moved all the way to the left. Move the lever to the right. No, can't do that yet. Let's head back west. Okay, let's explore the southern part of this dungeon. Maybe something will turn up. Alright, and directly south from the middle bit, attack her back. There's another one of those clouds. Step through it. It goes from green to red. Step through again. Goes from red to green. Okay. Probably something. I'm going to set them all to red. Alright. The bottom one's red. And now the middle one's red. Okay, can I pull the levers now? Move the lever to the right. Nope, not yet. What about the southern one? Nope, not yet. And the easternmost of the three levers? Not yet. Alright. Alright, time to check out the southwest and the north. Southwest and southeast corners. Alright, southwest corner. Yeah, it's just like the ones in the other corners. You're standing at the western end of a broad corridor you've been following. Directly to the left, a sturdy iron portcullis seals off the arched entrance to a large chamber. Peering through the bars and into a gloom-filled room. You can see what appears to be at least half a dozen Otoroku, I assume I'll have to fight at some point, because that's kind of what Otoroku are for, fighting. Although apparently you can also use them for building stuff. It's just that that doesn't seem to happen that much. They're better at destroying than building. You probably need to give them a lot of supervision for them to build something without just reverting to their default programming of killing everything that moves. A close examination of the portcullis suggests that it could be raised into the ceiling, for you don't spot any readily available means by which to accomplish such a feat. I'm guessing these levers are behind it. Alright, we've got red mist, and there's another portcullis with Otoroku behind in the southeast corner. Okay. Let's see, I'm going to set all the mists to green. Oh, okay, and now for the northern mist. Set from red to green. Nope, can't go through that portcullis yet. Can I pull the levers? We shall see. Move the lever to the right. Nope, still refuses to budge. Maybe the eastern lever. Still refuses to budge. There's probably some very obvious thing I can do that will solve this. Okay, let's go. A few feet to the left of the engraved out, the faint outline of a broad square has been etched onto the floor. Okay, now there must be something I could use. Maybe the hammer of icy whack, because that seems to do everything. Nope. Now what could it be? What have I got that could use a square? I'm just going to have to go to the Helm of Four Moons. Use that. It's going to be as equipment, so. Scrolling. The Ring of Greater Warding, perhaps? No. Okay, just going to go through the miscellaneous items. Just scrolling my way through. Bone wand. Carved stone square. No, that's an entirely different square. It's got nothing to do with the squares that we were looking for. Dragon shape key. Engraved silver square. You have no idea how you came, how this thin square of engraved silver came to be in your possession, but you have a strong desire strive to keep and protect it. Numerous intricate engravings cover the surface of the silver square, and a curious sequence of dots adjoin its edges. Maybe this one? No? No? Don't know. Let's just keep... I'm going to pause for a bit. If there is an item you can use, I'll tell you. Okay, just on a whim, I moved it so that the middle mist was green, and the ones at the bottom, north and south, were red. This was just on a whim, but apparently it's what I needed to do. I guess it's not too ridiculous to have you just fiddle around with the mists until you get the right option, because there are only 8 possible ways it could turn out. Because, you know, two ways the top one could go, times 2 ways the middle one could go, 2 ways the bottom one could go. I mean, if there was a couple more ways of mists to fiddle about, or if they had 3 options, then this wouldn't be sensible at all because of the whole exponential growth thing. Great effort, you managed to move the lever all the way to the white. Head back south. Okay, I'm going to pull the other lever. And now the third lever, the whitemost lever, I mean the eastmost lever, move the lever to the white. Now it refuses to budge the one the most. Okay, I can move the ones and I can move the levers in the northern and southern alcoves, but I can't do anything with the easternmost lever yet. Hopefully this has opened some doors in the corners. Okay, northwest isn't open yet. Northeast isn't open yet. Maybe the tacker back in the middle. No, nothing seems to have changed there. Southwest. And no. And southeast, no. Okay, I'm going to invert the three mists, turn red to green to the south. And turn green to red in the middle. And then green to red to the north. Was I given a clue somewhere about this? But if there is, I forgot it. Move the lever to the right. With grey effect, okay, we've made progress. We've solved the first puzzle of this dungeon, and it's a relatively small dungeon, so unless there's some sort of second floor going on, then this might be the only puzzle. With great effort, you manage to move the lever all the way to the right, suddenly, from some 128 experience to general. From somewhere off in the distance, the sound of metal grating on stone reaches your ears. The eerie, sometimes muffled sound seems to come from several different directions. After nearly a minute, the sound disappears, leaving you once again alone in the midst of the silent gloom. Head back west. Okay, and... ooh, we have a something. Something's turned up. Your exploration of the gloom-filled passage comes to an abrupt halt as the staggering figure of an Otorok looms out of the darkness ahead. Despite its primitive design, compared to the Otorok you've encountered elsewhere, the Coratel Otorok and the Woundskid Otorok, although, considering that there seems to be Otoruk going back 1,000 years, we have no idea who made the Otoruk. For all we know, they could be an ancient secret that goes back centuries from another world entirely. Although Coratel definitely improved upon them. It's merely obvious that the single-minded purpose of this silent, fearless guardian is to slay anything that crosses its path. Well, I don't like being slain. Because once you're slain, you can't pet dogs anymore. And you can't read books. And you can't eat cheese. And other things. Yeah, and it fights just like all the other Otoruks, so I'm not even going to read it. Because if you play Swift, you will encounter Otoruk. You'll know what they're like. Didn't even have time to adapt. It is slain. 21 XP. You step back from the shattered, twisted remains of the slain Otoruk and attempt to catch your breath following the brutal melee. After recovering and making a quick check of your equipment, you once again set off along the passage. Let's see what's happened in the corners with the portcullis. You're standing at the western end of a broad corridor you've been following. Directly to the south, a tall arch serves as a threshold for a large chamber. Peering through the arch and into the gloom-filled room, you see a wide pool of dark water. Enter the chamber. You step into the chamber and cautiously approach the dark pool that spans nearly the entire breadth of its southern end. You've taken less than 12 steps towards the standing water when the noise from behind startles you. Instinctively, you spring around and draw yourself into a battle-ready stance. Moving into the chamber, passing under the tall iron arch through which you've only just stepped, is a horde of Otoruk. Well, that means I definitely should equip Umdrol's Oaken Wad then. Because fighting Otoruk is what it's all about. When you've got Umdrol's Oaken Wad. With no way to flee from the chamber, you bravely hold your ground and engage the first of the Otoruk. There's 9 of them. Alright, I'm just going to be quick combating these. Quick combat. 24 XP. Guess this one had time to adapt. The Otoruk staggers back and crumples into a heap of twisted iron and shattered wood. Here's 2. Just going to quickly work my way through these. Another 24 XP. Wiping away the sweat that pours down your brow. Does this Oaken Wad sweat? I don't know. But I don't think regular toads don't sweat. But because the whole amphibian thing. Because they don't really go for the maintaining a steady body temperature. It's just not really worth the hassle. Sure, it makes some of the chemical reactions easier, but you have to eat so freaking much. Because every bloody cell has to be kept to a toasty 37 degrees Celsius or it starts crapping out on you. Namby-pamby mammalian cells. They're so namby-pamby. Namby-pamby, namby-pamby. Unlike, say, amphibian cells, they just keep going. They have backup. They have entirely different ways of doing chemical reactions if it gets a bit nippy or a bit toasty. And if it's too cold for anything to work, well, you just have a nap and hope that nothing eats them in the interim. That's probably a good reason to have the whole steady body temperature, because you can't suddenly be put into nap mode when it gets too cold. And when you're in nap mode, someone could just go, ooh, frog, and go, yummy frog, because I have suddenly become French, and I must eat frogs. Sorry, any French people, you also eat other things. And I'm sure there's probably other countries that eat frogs. It's one thing you know about humans, if a thing exists, someone's going to be like, I wonder what that tastes like. Even if it's something utterly ridiculous, like the heart of a king. But, you know, so on. Anyway, quick combat. Just quick combating them through. Here's number 5. Number 6. Do, 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 do. Number 7. Number 8, the penultimate. You step forward and boldly engage the last of the Oathrot. Quick combat. 21 experience, didn't get time to adapt, which is why the XP is a little bit lower. Just a little bit. The Oathrot staggers back and crumples into a heap of twisted iron and shattered wood. It looks like the amount of XP you can get from foes scaling to your level seems to be capped out. Presumably, this is so that people like Gregor don't end up getting hundreds of experience from scale fights because their MR is just that high. So instead, it just caps out about 10 or so extra bonus from the difficulty. But non-scale foes doesn't seem to be that much of a cap. Hard to tell. Have to go through the Lord, the Bone Horde, or the Lords of Ogdom to see. The Oathrot staggers back and crumbles into a heap of twisted iron and shattered wood. 128 experience to general. In the wake of the brutal fight, you spend several moments catching your breath and checking over your gear. Relatively certain that no more Oathrot are lurking in the immediate vicinity. Although one thing you learn is that there are always more Oathrot. You might have to wait a bit, but there will be more Oathrot. They just keep coming. There's like skeletons. There's always more skeletons. You never run out of skeletons, because every day more and more people turn into skeletons. And then all you just have to do is wait for a necromancer to bumble along going, do-de-do-de-do-de-do-do-de-do-de-do-de-do. I'm a necromancer. Ooh, a skeleton. I'm going to raise that. Do-de-do-de-do-de-do-do-de-do-de-do-de-do. But, you know, probably more metal. Going doo 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 doesn't sound like something. Doesn't sound like a suitable theme tune for a necromancer. More of a theme for a a conjuration mage maybe. Yeah, they would totally go doo 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 doo. Ooh, look! I've conjured a new hat. It's so fancy! And then they put it on their head and go, do-de-do-de-do-de-do, do-de-do-de-do-de-do. Yeah. Or something like that. Well, you immediately turn your attention to the chamber you've just cleared. You're standing in a large chamber just to the south of the corridor you've been following. A broad, dark pool spans nearly the entire breadth of the chamber's southern end. You step to the surface of the pool and peer down at its still mirror-like surface. Your own reflection stares back up at you from the frigid pool. Depths of the pool touch the surface of the water. I mean, it's there, so there's presumably a reason to do that. Another 128 experience to general. The instant your fingers brush against the surface of the frigid pool, the dark water shimmers brightly. As the ripples begin to settle, you're startled to find your own reflection has been replaced by the silvery silhouette of a Takaback. Takaback? This looks like time for the solid silver feather. Ah, I use so many things going through the seeing what happens in the middle, that it hasn't done anything yet. But let's use the solid silver feather. No, doesn't do anything. It must just help. Help along, rather than unlocking anything on its own. Right, another Ultra Carp attack blocks my path, but not for long. And a bit of quick healing. And Easternkle. Enter the chamber in the northeastern corner. I enter the chamber. Otoakawai, just going to quick combat these. 1, 2, there's also 9 here. Not sure where the random encounter Otoaka coming from. I guess they just hid some extra Otoaka in a corner somewhere where we couldn't see them.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Buy 2, get 2 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up with your card. Then get 3-pound packs of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $2.99 a pound with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
One of nine. 8 of 9. Do a bit of quick heals. And here's the last one. 24 XP. 128 experience to general. In the wake of the brutal fight, you spend several moments catching your breath and checking over your gear. Relatively certain that no more Otoaka lurking about in the immediate vicinity, you swiftly turn your attention to the chamber you've just cleared. Alright, let's touch the surface of this water. Another 128 experience to general. The instant your fingers brush against the surface of the frigid pool, the dark water shimmers brightly. As the ripples begin to settle, you're startled to find your own reflection has been replaced by the silvery silhouette of a Takaback. Okay, let's go back west. Let's go back to the middle part. Has anything happened with this Takaback silhouette? It's still faint. It's still the broad square. I guess I'm going to have to explore all the corners before anything happens here. Another Okura Carpetite blocks my way, but it gets smashed. Thanks partially to Umdrell's Oaken Wad, no doubt. Can't really tell exactly, because it's a quick combat. Enter the chamber. Large group of Otoruk. There's 6 of them this time. Just going to get through these quickly. 24 XP, number 3. Another 24 XP, number 4. 21 XP, number 5. Another 21. Number 6. 21. 128 experience to general. In the wake of the brutal fight, you spend several moments catching your breath and checking over your gear. Relatively certain that no more Otoaka are lurking about in the immediate vicinity. Although I know there's some in the not-so-immediate vicinity. You turn your attention to the chamber you've just cleared. You're standing in a large chamber, it's just us in the northwest corner. Touch the surface of the pool, 120 experience to general. Silhouette of a Takaback. Leave the chamber. Head back east. Now to check out the southeast corner, do a bit of healing first, because there will be Otoruk. This is a quite symmetrical dungeon. I just guess Ragnar just likes his dungeons symmetrical. Enter the chamber. You're standing in a large chamber just to the south of the north, the corridor you've been following. A broad dark pool spans near the entire breadth of the chamber's northern end. You step to the edge of the pool and peer down at the still, mirror-like surface. Your own reflection stares back up at you from the frigid depths of the pool. Touch the surface of the water, 128 experience to general. The instant your fingers brush against the surface of the pool, the dark water shimmers brightly. As the ripples begin to settle, you're startled to find your own reflection has been replaced by the silvery outline silhouette of a tackleback. Leave the chamber. Was there any old rock here? I don't remember. Maybe we'd killed enough wandering around that there were none left there. Ooh, something's happened. A few feet to the left of the engraved tackleback, a broad square opening now spans almost the entire width of the passage. A narrow set of steps descend into the deep gloom below the opening. Ooh, there's a whole new floor. Well, that changes. Something's climbed down the stairs. With your dependable light source parting the gloom, you warily descend the narrow set of steps. Yep, oh, just kind of just roll into a ball and just roll down the steps. It's easier than, you know, having to spring for each one, because the steps are just tall enough that the width that you can't, that Sir Crokington can't, you know, walk down them. Not without suddenly size shifting, which she can do, but that's a pain, so she only does that when she has to. Alright, you're standing at the base of a narrow set of narrow stone steps that lead up to the upper level of this long hidden lair. To the east, the passage disappears into darkness, while to the west it intersects with a wider hall. Alright, what is to the east? Okay, we've got something going on here. I can see the entire floor now. The dungeon has got a square around the outside with question marks and the north, east, south and west sides. And into the middle on the east, north and south side are three alcoves. And there's a corridor, and there's a three square corridor going into the middle. A stifling silence fills the dark, damp passages of the lower level of this long hidden lair. Alright, what's in the very middle? An ornate stone pedestal stands in the middle of this section of the passage. Resting on the pedestal's flattened, womb engraved top is a bulging pouch carved out of stone. A close examination reveals that the pouch is actually part of the pedestal and cannot be removed. Yet, a particular item may be used, maybe the twisted wooden rod? Nope. Probably have to do something. Alright, and east. An elaborate engraved scene adorns the wall in this section of the passage. Examine the engraved scene. You carefully examine the engraved scene and are astonished to discover that despite being partially obscured by an age's worth of crime, it appears to depict various events in which you played a key role. Alright, okay. This is either prophecy, time travel, or prophecy, time travel, all these images can change beneath the grime. And honestly, I that seems difficult because I thought, wouldn't the images changing shake off the grime? Well, I guess it depends what sort of grime it is. The engraving depicts, down to the most minute detail, your discovery of the entrance of the labyrinth deep in Fogbore Forest. Yep, so prophecy or time travel. Well, I think we will. We know that Zatharuk Timebender can do time travel, so could very well be something to do with him. Although indirectly, because I'm pretty sure Wackner doesn't work for Zatharuk. But who knows? Who knows? Maybe one of the things he found when he was delving too deep was good old Zafruk, the King Crab and Lord of Time. But Zath, this is section 20,000, so I don't even think Zatharuk was an idea back then, so I'm more leaning towards not. Just who knows. Okay, moving my way north. Northwest corner. Okay, I'm going to check out the first alcove on the northern side. A large tackerback made out of iron, bronze and wood stands atop the raised plinth at the back of this wide alcove. You immediately recognise the fearsome creation to be similar in design to the other mechanical creatures you encountered while exploring the labyrinth. You're startled when a series of faint creaks suddenly come from the direction of the rigid automaton. Well, of course, it's going to try to kill me. Have I ever encountered an automaton that didn't? Okay, probably a few, but as a rule, they try to kill you. Approach the mechanical tackerback. You approach the mechanical tackerback and examine it closely. Now and again, the strange creation creaks, as if someone seen part of a mechanized beast is attempting to move. Doesn't try to kill me yet, but I think it will. Okay, and on the east-north side, an elaborate engraved scene adorns the wall. In this section of the passage, examine the engraved scene. You carefully examine the engraved scene, and astonished to discover that despite being partially obscured by an age's worth of grime, it appears to depict various events in which you played a key role. The engraving depicts, down to the most minute detail, your meeting with Yersin in Griffin's Wet Edge Ale House in Trithic. Actually, that's more disturbing. Now, them knowing of what I'll do in the labyrinth, okay, I can buy that. Because presumably, Ragnar has a way to just Ragnar, if he's even still alive or whatever running the labyrinth now, has ways of knowing what's going on in the labyrinth. So knowing what I looked like when I first entered doesn't really surprise me, but knowing about how I got into the labyrinth, and apparently having known enough about that to, you know, gather images of it, or at least a good enough description to make images of it. Eerie. Okay, and the second alcove on the north side, approach the mechanical tackerback. Yep, it's another one of those. It's attempting to move, but it can't do anything. And on the eastern side, it's another mechanical tackerback. It's attempting to move, but it can't yet. Eastern side, it's an engraved scene. You carefully examine the engraved scene and are astonished to discover, despite being partially obscured by an age's worth of grime, it appears to depict various events in which you played a key role. The engraving depicts, down to the most minute detail, your departure from Griffin's Edge Ale House in Trithic, following your meeting with Yersin. The engraving also shows three leering faces watching you from the crowd outside the ale house. Ooh. I mean, were they just added, or was people watching me? Does that mean anything? Well, I assume people were watching me, because schemes within schemes, apparently. But still, eerie. And the second one, mechanical tackerback, step out of the alcove. Alright, on the southern side, mechanical tackerback tries to move, but it doesn't. Grave scene. It's another one. The engraving depicts, down to the most minute detail, you lying in a pool of blood, surrounded by a ring of fire. Standing over you is a hooded figure, his mailed hands gripping the haft of a fearsome double-bladed axe. Alright, well, let's hope that this isn't prophecy, because I don't want to die in a pool of blood. Well, admittedly, I could be in a pool of blood and not dead, but... I mean, it's usually assumed that if you're in a pool of blood, it's your own blood, and it got out of you by someone killing you. I mean, I guess I could just... Sir Croaking, you'd just be having a sort of splishy splash in a pool of blood of some gigantic monster she just slain. And, you know, it's just having a little splishy splash in all the blood that came out. But anyway, there's this hooded figure, and that definitely leads you towards the you've been killed thing, and I don't like that. And it might just be destiny, but well, maybe we'll have to overcome it. And you know, that might even be worth it to make it come to pass. Okay, I've went all the way around the duck floor now. Alright, gonna try to do something with these tuckerbacks. Solid silver feather? No. Twisted wooden wad? No. Glowing spear of mist? No. Let's see. Now, is there anything, any clues? It's a tackerback. It's weeding through. It's attempting to move. There must be something I can do, but I'm not quite sure what. Okay, I haven't really done anything on this floor yet. I've looked around, but I haven't done anything. Maybe I have to fiddle something in the... Alright, there's an item you use at the stone pedestal. Solid silver feather. No. Ooh. Oh, wait, actually it was. 128 experience to general. The instant you hold up the solid silver feather, six engraved feathers, tuckerback feathers, appear on the base of the pedestal. Six intricately detailed feathers are carved into the base of the pedestal. The feathers appear to be those of the tuckerback, because of course they are. I mean, apparently, whatever group that the organisation that Ragnar belong to, apparently they're obsessed with skulls, eyes, moons, and tuckerbacks. I mean, tuckerbacks are really cool, so I can totally get that. Okay, to the mechanical startled when faint creeps suddenly come from the direction of the rigid automaton approaching mechanical tuckerback. As you step towards the large mechanical bird of prey, the fearsome creation suddenly springs to life. Well, we all knew it was going to do that eventually. I mean, automatons are even more likely to spring to life and try to kill you than statues. And statues are always coming to life and trying to kill you. It's just what happens. You just go down the street, you try to make a statue, and suddenly it comes to life and tries to kill people. Yes, you have to cast an whole spell on it so they don't come to life. It's just the law of the universe. Not our universe, as far as I know, but the Swithian universe. Mechanized tackerback. Its horrific, ear-piercing chorus of shrieks, echoing off the walls of the alcove, leaps off the plinth and charges you as a mechanical tackerback. Mechanical tackerback tears at you with its iron beak and talons. Yep, but that won't. Can it fly? I'm going to assume it can fly. Because otherwise it'd be kind of hard for it to, you know, get to me? Well, okay. Well, to get to Norku, it would be very easy for it to get to me without flying. The enemy deals you a devastating blow for 36 damage. Keep going, and another devastating blow, 23 down. It is slain, 40 XP, 64 XP to general. With a deafening shriek, coupled with the sounds of snapping wood and twisting metal, the mechanicized bird of prey topples into a heap at your feet. You spend a few moments recovering from the fight before preparing to resume your exploration of these dark halls. Now to defeat the other 5 mechanical tackerbacks. Just going to quickly go to them. Clockwise or approach it. Fight it. 40 XP. 64 XP to general. Not sure what this will do. Presumably it'll let me get the pouch in the middle. Mechanical tackerback 3. Quick combat and so on. And number 4. Quick combat that one. Ooh, devastating blow. It's knocked out most of my health, but I use a bit of hand of healing to heal myself. And it's just slain. Quick healing. 40 XP. 64 XP to general. With a deafening shriek, coupled with the sounds of snapping wood and twisting metal, mechanicized bird of prey topples into a heap at your feet. You spend a few moments recovering from your fight before preparing to resume your exploration of these dark halls. Okay, and along the southern side, quick combat the first one. Same as before. And here it is, the last one. Approach, quick combat. 40 XP, 64 XP to general. Alright, can we get the pouch? We have a suddenly. 124 experience to general. What, no, 1024. I mean, 124 would make no sense. It's not a power of 2. Or a simple multiple of the power of 2. A 256 experience to all skills and powers. Very nice. A flash of silver light fills the passage, and you instinctively shield your eyes to protect them from the fierce glow. As the light fades, you're surprised to discover the stone pouch resting atop the pedestal is now made of leather and no longer attached to its perch. You promptly take possession of the bulging pouch and peer inside. 8 small stone spiders carved in intricate detail fill the bag. Hello, stone spiders. A bag of stone spiders. The leather bag contains 8 small stone spiders. Hello, hello, small stone spiders. You have little doubt the spiders, which appear incredibly lifelike, are magical in nature. Curious as to what purpose the spiders may serve. And believing their purpose will be revealed somewhere in the depths of the mad, you carefully place the pouch in amongst your other belongings. Alright, I'm guessing that's all we need to do to get to the next level of the mad. Well, and get through it, perhaps, or at least get to it. Approach the stone doors. As you step up to the doors, a loud groan echoes along the passage as the massive stone slab slings slowly inward. When the space between the doors is wide enough, you slip out through the opening and step back into the fog-filled ravine. Behind you, the massive stone doors again groan loudly as they slowly spring close. Return to your previously discovered location, Wagner's mad. Please return to the Twisted Owl House in Migspool and choose to sit at one of its tables to complete the adventure with Emmett Hader. This will allow you access to level 21's levels 21 and beyond in the Labyrinth. Okay, so I've got to talk to Emmett Heyer first, but... I'll put that off until next time. And then we'll combine that with doing floor 21. I could do it now, but I'm very close to bedtime. Alright, and save. So next time, we'll meet up with Emmett Heyer, show her what we found, and go to level 21 of Wrackner's Mad. But until then, farewell, fellow adventurers.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.